I'm always giving excuses about why we're doing relatively trivial things, so we're going to go right for the jugular. Parshat Vayera, without question, the highlight and the highlight of Avraham's life is the Akedah. The Akedah, of course, is famous. The Akedah is the source of much art, literature, all sorts of stuff, great philosophic meanderings and musings. And we're going to actually engage in some of that here, which is the problem of God testing somebody and the problem of God asking, demanding, commanding that a man take his own son and kill him, right? And to think that this is a 19th century problem that Søren Kierkegaard made up is not accurate. To think that it was something that was suddenly realized in the times of the Crusades that people were anguishing over is also inaccurate. It's something that goes much further back, the difficulties with this text. So what I want to do is quickly read through the text. We all know the text, but just point out things here and there. And then we're going to look at five or six different responses, starting with some Midrashim and then some Rishonim. And we're going to hopefully be very surprised. Be very surprised. The one starting point is that everybody's got a problem with this parsha. Nobody is saying one about it. Nobody says, yeah, okay, so God tested Avram, and we understand that God tests man, and Avram passed the test, and the test was would he kill his kid. And, yeah, that's all cool. It's not cool for anybody. Okay, here we go. I put the translation of the text underneath, and I left certain words untranslated. Along the way, I point out some Parshani problems, which are tangential, but just of their own interest, and might want to follow that path on your own over Shabbat. By the way, Achar Dvay Ma'ila means? Which means, to figure out what that means, you have to look at the most recent thing that happened, because this event or this command comes on the heels of something just happened. What just happened is Avraham, Yitzchak was born. That's clear enough right now. The boy is exiled from the house with Hagar. Who's the boy? Well, we talked about that once. Who it is, but it's the Ishmael or another child, is exiled. And then Avraham makes a brit with Abimelech. And the brit is a multi-generational brit, which is essentially similar to the way we think of it as Lavan and Yaakov's DMZ. You know, they put some rocks up and said, okay, you stay there, I'll stay here. And it's sort of like Avraham and Abimelech say, okay, you keep that land, I'll keep this land, we won't bother each other and through our children, grandchildren, etc. That seems to be what's happening. That's actually going to come up later. V'hai Elohim nisa et Avraham. All right, so what does that mean? God did what? Nisa, and I put nisa in there for a reason. All right, now, here's the problem. Well, let's finish the pasuk, we'll look at the problem. V'yomer elav, Avraham v'yomer hineini. Now, if we want to look at this on a micro version, a very narrow version, we could look at this pasuk alone and say that God speaking to Avram and Avram saying Hineini itself was Nisa. Let's look at the Pasuk. After these matters, Hashem Nisa Avraham. And how did he do that? By saying Avraham, and Avram said Hineini. And that was it. Now, that's not the case, but the Pasuk's a little bit odd because you would assume Nisa at Avraham would be followed by some grand statement, and instead it just begins the story. What does Nisa mean? What does the word mean? So, we have to remember that our Ivrit and the Ivrit of Chazal is not necessarily the same Ivrit of Tanakh. Right? It's Lashon Mikra Lachud, Lashon Chachamim Lachud, as the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says. So, what is the verb Nisa in Tanakh? And although Lenasot is related to the word Masa, Mem Samachay, which you're familiar with from Masa Umariva, and it is to try somebody's patience, to irritate them and to challenge them. And nonetheless, Lenasot also means to raise up high. We're going to see that in the Midrash. And you have a pasuk in Tehillim, which is going to be invoked like a banner. And Nes means a banner. Natata li'recha Nes lehitnoses. You have given those who fear you a banner to raise up high. So you could translate this as, after these matters, Hashem raised up Avraham. You could translate it that way. All right, so let's see. Vayomer. Kachna et pincha. What does na mean? That means, in Tanakh means now. Kachna et pincha et yechidcha asher ahavta et Yitzchak. Now that phrasing should sound familiar to us because it sounds like it echoes lech lecha me'artzecha moladcha me'tavicha. And it's as if the beginning and end of Avraham's career, this is the last time Hashem speaks to Avraham that we hear about, are bookended by these three terms of familiarity that Avraham has to depart from. In one case, it's the generation above, in the other case, generation below. V'lech lecha, that should be a big echo, el Eretz HaMoriah. Where's Eretz HaMoriah? I don't know, you don't know. Does Avraham know? Evidently he knows, because he takes off, but Eretz HaMoriah. V'aleu sham le'ola al acha ni'arim asher o'ay lecha. So, ha'aleu sham le'ola, and those three words are really the key of this whole thing. What does ha'aleu sham le'ola mean? Now, how do we generally read it? Bring him up as an olah offering. Right? Where? On one of the mountains that I tell you. Okay. Now, at this point, if that's indeed what's happening, what would we expect Avraham to do? So if Avraham is Yonah, what does he do? He takes Yonah and he takes Yitzchak and runs the other direction. All right? If Avraham is Moshe, what does he do? Right? Debates. If Avraham is Yirmiyahu, he says, I'm not ready. If Avraham is Yeshayahu, he says, I'm not worthy. I mean, we got lots. Instead, what does Avraham do? Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. And by the way, if Avraham is Avraham, remember Stone. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. And by the way, that's a lot of parshanut is on why Avraham here doesn't protest, whereas in Stone he protests. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, he gets up early in the morning. Parenthetically, just one little etymological note, which is a lot of fun, is Vayashkem, we all know because some of us are denizens of the Hashkama Minyan. Right? What does Lahashkim mean? To get up early. How did Lahashkim mean to get up early? So what's a shechem on your body? What's a shechem? It's your shoulder. Okay? So when you get up early in the morning to travel, you typically load on the animal's shoulder, on your own shoulders, a load. So Lahashkim is sort of that get saddled up. So it became a word for to get up early. Right? And then that leads to everything else that we open there. Parenthetically, from a bird's eye view, the town of Shechem looks like the backbone of a donkey. And it's against Shechem ben Hamor. Okay. Anyways, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, Vayachavosh et Chamoro. So he saddles up his donkey. There we go. Vayikach et Shnei Ne'arav Ito. Two lads who will remain unnamed throughout the story. Ve'id Yitzchak Beno. Vayivakah Atzei Olah, Vayakom Adachol Makom Hashemar Elo Elohim. He splits his own wood. All right, so he splits his own wood and goes to the place where God showed him. Of course, we don't know where it is. Bayom HaShlishi, which means how far is wherever Avram is leaving from, which is the Beshavar Chevron, how far is it from this place? 3 days if you walk straight. But maybe they're wandering around, like, you know, B'nai Yisrael Bamidbar. Vayisa Avram etenav, vayarta makom merachok. So evidently, somehow Avram knows the place. Chazal famously say, he looked up and saw a cloud over the mountain. As indicated, he saw the place from a distance. All right, so now it's time to actually go up to the mountain. Vayomar Ramal Na'arav, he talks to the kids and he says, Shulachem poi machamor, zetzachavek, right, you sit here with the donkey, famous drasha, vaniva nar nechadko. Me and the kid will go up to there. Adko, right there. Minishtachavem and ashuv alechem. What does he tell them they're going to do? What does Avram say to the kids he's going to do with Yitzchak? We're going to worship. We're going to go there. We'll bow and we'll come back. Nashuva is in the plural. We'll come back. So that's what he broadcasts. So who knows that he's supposed to sacrifice Yitzchak at this point? Only Avram. Yitzchak doesn't know, evidently. What happens next? Does Avram know?
Yeah.
Well, depends how we interpret Valeo Sham Le'olah, correct? Okay, good. Vayikach Avram et Atzei Ha'olah, so he takes the wood that he cut. Vayasim al Yitzchak Beno. So now he had it on the donkey. They leave the donkey behind, so now they got to carry everything. So who carries the wood? Yitzchak. Now I want you to see the image. Yitzchak and the wood's on his back. Why is that image very powerful? Because what's going to happen momentarily? They're going to switch sides. Yitzchak will be on the wood. All right, so there's this imagery of turning around. What does he take in his hands? Take some fire, right? And he takes the knife, ma'achelet. Now, as far as Yitzchak is concerned, what are they doing? Avram said, we're going to go worship. So as far as Yitzchak is concerned, what are they doing? He's got wood, we got fire, we got a knife. So what are you doing? We're going to offer up an animal to God, right? Vayomer Yitzchak al Avram Aviv, Vayomer Avi, Vayomer Hineni Vini. So Yitzchak turns to his father and says, Avi. Now, by the way, the text is deliberately creating this intimacy, which, of course, from our perspective, is painful. And what does Avram say? Hineni Vini, which is exactly the words Avram used when talking to God. God says, Avram, Hineni. Yitzchak says, Avram, he says, Hineni. Right? Which, by the way, should tell us that Abraham himself is feeling very torn between his loyalty to God and his loyalty to his son. He doesn't say, yeah, what do you want? He says, hineni, like he said to God. Vayomer, hinei ha'esh v'etzim, v'yaseh le'olah. You got the fire, I got the wood, where's the animal? All right, pretty reasonable question. Vayomer Avram, Elohim, your Eloh ha'seh le'olah b'ni. What does he say? God will show us the say. He doesn't exactly say that. If you look at it, what? What? Yeah, which means it's like he's going to indicate to the say, right? Or he'll show himself. Like, Lech Lecha, Yireh Lo. He'll show it to us, right? But Yireh means to see, not to show. Now, Yitzchak continues to go Yachtav. Right, hand in hand. I remember years ago there was somebody who was they had a dinner for a couple that had been devoted to Jewish community for many, many years, and they worked together beautifully, and they put the invitation together, and on the invitation they had Baruch Hushneim Yachtav. I said, you really want to put that there? You know what the context is? At the end of the dinner, we're going to sacrifice one of them to the, you know, not exactly. They stuck with it. Anyhow, people love taking stuff out of context. Okay. So they get to the place, and now he builds a mizbeach, puts a few stones together, builds a mizbeach. Alright, so where is he? Yitzchak standing there. He's now got his back up. We didn't know he had rope, but he had rope, and he ties up Yitzchak's four legs and arms. So he puts him on top of the wood. So again, the wood and Yitzchak have been switched. Right? Yitzchak doesn't say anything here. We don't know if he said, we don't hear him say anything. Now he takes the knife to check the son. Right? Now, you Yitzchak, what's going through your mind? Anywhere between heroic submission to panic. We don't know. So the Malach calls him and says, Vayomer Avram, Avram, Vayomer Hineni, Nochamo, Hineni. Now, Atas Tomuma, a little history to the Parshanut about that, because we're not going to touch it on the other side. Atas Tomuma means don't kill him. Atas Tomuma means don't do a thing to him. So it's interesting, late Midrash, I'm saying like 13th century Midrash, where Avram turns to Malach and says, oh, come on, let me at least nick him and draw some blood. Where's that coming from? So it's important to note that the Akedah, and if you're interested, read Spiegel's Last Trial. It's the book on the Akedah, on the Midrash of the Akedah. That's great. The Akedah became almost like a playbook for Jews during the Crusades. Because during the period of the Crusades, the Crusaders would come through, they'd kill the men, rape the women, and kill them, and then take their children and baptize them. And many of the families decided that instead of letting their kids be taken and baptized, they'd kill them. And Yisrael Yuval went overboard with this piece of information, but reality is that there were communities in the Rhine Valley that slaughtered their own children in advance of the Crusades, and they envisioned themselves as Avram at the Akedah. The Akedologies that we have, the Akedot in the Slichot that we add on a certain Mechuvah, the Ashkenazi Slichot, those are all composed in that era, because that Akedah was very real for them. And so that Midrash is from that time, where Avram says, okay, I can't kill him. At least let me nick him. Let me get some blood, right? Very, very bizarre, but... ki ataya dati ki yirelu himata. And now I know that you fear God. You didn't keep your son from me. That sounds like the test. Avram looks up, and what does he see? Suddenly sees an aisle that is caught in the thicket with its horns. And now he does exactly what he said he was going to do. God's going to show me an animal. He found the animal. He slaughters it, tachat b'no, which means he must untie Yitzchak, take him down, and say, and put up the animal, and he shuts it. What is Avram? He names the place. What's the name of the place? Hashem Yireh. Asher Yamer Hayom Bahar Adonai Yireh. Just like people today say, you go to the mountain of God to be seen. Now that, by the way, is a very difficult phrase because it's anachronistic. Because the mountain of God, going there to be seen, is Solomonic or later. Right? The idea of all that of Aliyah L'Regel and Yireh calls Churcha. So Ibn Ezra has his comments here and other people have their comments here. Now is the second nevuah. God takes an oath by his own name. Because you did this and not withhold your son, in other words, you were willing to give up your future, I'm going to bless you and make you multitudes, like the stars, like the sand by the sea. Razachar Choraivav and your children will inherit, will dispossess their enemies. And your children, through your children, all nations will be blessed. That means the blessing that we got at Lech Lecha now is coming closer. Because you listen to my voice. So now Avram returns to Na'arav. By the way, who are Na'arav? Yeah, who's that? Meaning, is that the two boys that he left behind? Which means, where's Yitzchak? Or do we forget that Yitzchak's also called a Na'ar, which means maybe Yitzchak went and joined them while Avram did his offering, or he was there, and then now Avram returns and joins all three of them. They go to Beersheba, and Avram lives in Beersheba. The problems here are quite obvious. But the one problem that I want to focus on is this whole problem of a test. It's not my problem. We're just looking at the literature. So, if you take a look at source 2 and 3, you have a series, a few midrashim that go in different directions, how to understand this test. Is it a test? Right? And then you're going to see some very surprising things in the midrash, in the Rishonim, sorry. So the first one is from Bereshit Rabbah. Good. They immediately quote the pasuk in Tehillim that I mentioned about giving those who fear you a banner, a nace. So they're interpreting Nisa not as tested, but rather as raised up. Nisayon achar nisayon, gidalon achar gidalon, meaning raising up. Why? Bishvil nasotam ba'olam, to raise them up in this world. Bishvil gadlan ba'olam, to make them great in this world. Kenes shel sfina, like the mast on a boat. So that's to pick out the word nes and nisayon, not as test, but rather as banner. Notice, it doesn't say Bishvil Anasoto, to raise him up, but rather to raise them up. What's that they're talking about? B'chol kach lama, why? Mimnei koshet sela. The rest of the pasuk says, for truth. What's that? Bishvil shetit kashet midat hadin ba'olam. So that God's truth should be adorned. How does that work? Shim yomar adam, l'mishu rotzem mashir, l'mishu rotzem mi'ani. God is capricious. He enriches Avram. He makes Lot poor. Right, and whoever he wants, he turns into a king. Meaning, your own moral standing has nothing to do with how God treats you. That's what people could say. Avraham k'shuratza so asher, k'shuratza so melech. He made Avram whatever he wanted because he likes Avram. Yacholat la'shivo. Here's your answer to him. Lemorlo, yacholat la'sot mashas Avram. Could you do what Avram did? Right. In other words, what is it that Hashem is doing? Hashem is having Avram act in a superheroic way so that his selection of Avraham and his blessing of Avraham cannot be justified. And that therefore, people will look around and say, I could also be blessed by God if I also reach the moral high ground, not if I happen to be born under the right star or I have the right color hair. Right? And it's because of what I'm able to do and my loyalty that will happen. Right? And Avraham, Ben Miyat Shana, Bivavlo Yitzchak Beno. So Avraham was 100 when Yitzchak was finally born. Achar Atzara Zen, Emarlo Kachna Pilcha. And after all that, Hashem says, take him and sacrifice him. Flowy cave. right? And so now, how are we reading it? It's not a test, because the problem with God giving a test is, I give my students a test because I don't know if they've studied. And I don't know how to assess their work. God doesn't need to give you a test. He knows what you can do. So why would God test you? So the answer is, God's not testing Avram. God's showing Avram off. God's giving Avraham a very difficult challenge, and when he fulfills it, everybody understands why God blessed him, and it's not capricious. I'll give you a simple example. This happens in class, right? One student gets an A+. All the other students get B pluses, Bs, right? And it's not fair. He's friends with the person's parents, some other kind of favoritism. And so what do you do in class? You come up with the most difficult question and you pose it to that student. And the student answers it. And everybody looks at him and says, you know what? I guess he really earned the A+. I don't like it, but it is what it is. All right? So there is that way of looking at it. We have another midrash that goes in a very different direction. Because in this case, what has happened to Avram along the way? The answer is nothing. The only thing that's happened is Avram's worth has been proven. The other midrash goes in a different direction, and there's two versions of it. And it works off the pasuk, Adonai tzaddik yivchan, God tests the tzaddik, v'rasha v'oev chamas, sana nafsho. And God doesn't like the one who's bad. All right, so let's see what that's about. Amar Rabbi Yonatan, hayotzer hazeh, a potter, eino bodei kankanim ruayim. He doesn't hit, when people are walking by in the marketplace, he doesn't hit bad pots. The minute he hits them once, they break. What's the point of that? He hits the strong ones. He could hit them a few times, he doesn't break them. God only tests people who could stand up to the test. In other words, we're looking now and saying, God did test Avraham, but God didn't test Avraham to see if Avraham knew, see if Avraham would pass, because he knows what Avraham's going to do. He tests Avram, and now it's reading test, not raise up. But he tests Avram because Avram can stand it. Right, that's one way of looking at it.
What purpose?
Exactly. Good problem. What purpose? So now look at the next one.
I mean, that's one of the, that's the larger thing.
Right. So in the first Midrash, we know what purpose. Yeah. Right? To justify God's selection. What about here? V'yosef v'chanina. Ha'pishta ni'azen. Now, here's going to see something very different. V'shash yodeh ha'pishtan shaleyafeh. When he has flax that's been spun well, the more he hits it, the better, the stronger it gets. I don't know how flax works, but evidently. However, if it's bad, when he hits it, it breaks apart. Now, it's like the pot, but not like the pot. God only tests the tzaddikim, but what's the reason here? Nietzsche. In other words, somebody who is a tzaddik, when they get tested, they become greater as a result. They become better for the fact that they overcame that test. Rishayim, on the other hand, get broken by it. Remember, it was the most amazing talks I ever had one-on-one with somebody. Many years ago, I was visiting another town. I met somebody who, when they were relatively newlyweds, they had a baby who, at age 2, contracted leukemia. And this is many, many years earlier. I met this family 15 years after the baby had died. And I sat with I sat up with them till, it must have been 2 a.m., both Friday night and Saturday night. I was in their house for Shabbat. Friday night, Motzei Shabbat. Listening to them talk about their experience and realizing, as painful as it was, their own personal growth and the growth in the relationship as a result of this, it was phenomenal. Now, obviously, it's nothing you wish on anybody. It's nothing that you say, oh, that's a good idea. Let's have a tragedy happen so that we can become better. But you see that these are people who, as a result of it, became really humongous people. I know people, I think you all know people, who have very challenging situations in the family, with disease, with different things, and you see that they're amazing. And you honestly don't know what were they like, because I met a lot of people afterwards. You don't know what were they like before. But these people have become really, really amazing people. I would say names, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. And then we have a third direction in the Midrash. Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Baal HaBayit Shayelo Shtei Parot. A guy has two cows. Achad Kocha Yafer, Achad Kocha Ra. Again, one is strong, one is weak. Al Mino Tein Ha'ol. Who does he put the yoke on? Alotash Kocha Yafer. Now this is different. And you know, it's each one of these three midrashim has a unique take. The first one is, the guy's selling stuff in the marketplace, he only hits the strong ones. Which, by the way, may mean, you know what, I'm going to test Avram because Avram can stand up to it. And now all people can see that they're capable of much more than they thought. The second one is, I'm going to test him because it makes him stronger. The Rasha will break. The third one is, I have a job to do, I have to give it to somebody who can do it. Which sounds like this whole story of Akedat Yitzhak was something that God needed to do in the world, and as many people say, in order to show his utter rejection of child sacrifice, perhaps. And therefore, I have to give it to somebody who's strong enough to take it. But you notice, everybody here is grappling with the same problem. Vos mentos that God is testing, and what kind of test is this? Right? However, when you look at Rishonim, you can find something very, very different. Look, for instance, at what Rashi says. Right? Rashi here at the very beginning, Donnie, do you know if Aryeh is around, or Lee, or Yehuda? Okay, thanks, because if we have two more guys, we're good to go. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
You got it.
Right. Okay. So Rashi, right at the beginning, picks up on the nuance of the language. That's why I asked at the beginning, what is it God commanded? It says, Vahaleu, lo amar lo shachteu. God didn't say slaughter him. God said, Haaleu. What does Haaleu mean? Put him up. God never wanted him to shacht him. Lahar v'lasvato ola. He said, take him up to the mountain, turn him into an ola. When he turned him into an Allah, he said, take him down. How do you turn him into an Allah? Put him up on the Mizbeach. Didn't say slaughter. And so Rashi further on picks up on this.
Is there a model for that?
No, but just looking at the language. So watch what happens. It's next to Rashi. Ki ataya dati, this is when the Malach says, now I know that you fear me. Amar biyaba, he quotes a midrash. Amar lo Avraham, afarish tefachan nefanechat sichati. Avram says, I don't get it. Etmol amarta liki Yitzchak yikarei lechazara. A little while ago, not yesterday, a little while ago you told me, Yitzchak is going to be your future. Chazartu matakach nabincha. Then you came out of me to take him up and slaughter him. Akshav atal merli al tashta. And now you're telling me not to touch him. Fickle. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo achal el briti matzatz fatai lo ashaneh. So he quotes Pasuk and Tehillim, I will never change my brit. Shamarti l'cha kach, that's what I told you to take him. I told you to put him up on the Mizbeach and say, kill him. You put him up, take him down. In other words, he's reading Ha'alehu now, not as implying Korban, but just what it means. Put him up on the Mizbeach. By the way, this is something that echoes later on when Yitzchak, remember, wants to go to Mitzrayim because of the famine. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Stay here. What's the famous midrash? Ata ola tmima. You're a korban ola. Ein chutz laaretz kedai lecha. Chutz laaretz beneath you. Like a korban can't leave the mizbeach. You can't leave Eretz Yisrael. In other words, you're a living korban. Not a dead korban, a living korban. Now, that's following the Rashi direction.
You mean once you went on the mizbeach?
Yeah. Right? They have kedusha mizbeach. As a human being, which of course is halachically not valid, but in this case, God said so, so it works.
When was he commanded not to leave Israel?
Yeah, much later, right. In the famine. So now, that means that Rashi's saying that Avram was guilty of misunderstanding the command. God said, Haleu. Avram thought, Shechtim. He said, no, I didn't mean Shechtim. I didn't say that. I said, Haleu. You took him up, now take him down. I never changed my mind. I told you, Yitzchak's the future. Now I want you to sanctify him. And then take him down. In the meantime, you came for a korban. There's a ram. Shkoyach. Okay. Good. So the Rabbag actually addresses it. The Rashi means, I'll do something, I'll turn him into a living olah. Now that's stretchy, right? Because in olah, we're familiar with all the Rebach Noach.
That would also mean that he failed. That Avram failed.
That he failed because
he took a knife to him and now that was not the intention.
It sounds like Hashem said, according to Rashi, Hashem said, okay, you were willing to do more than I commanded, but I can see how committed you are to me, so that works, but you didn't get what I was saying. Look at the Ralbag. The Ralbag will take us even further. Ralbag will live in Gershom, 13th century France. He's rewriting the Shichtuv. Shemar Yilav Hashem. All right, so he took him up and he set up the Mizbeach. What did Hashem intend? Meaning, take him up to do an Ola. Not take him up as an Ola, take him up to do an Ola. So Nilamar Shiar Yitzchak Shama Kavata Ola L'Hashem. You should see what a Korban Ola looks like. In other words, Hashem says to Avram, it's time to show Yitzchak how to do Korbanot. Okay, take him up and do an Ola. Haleu Sham Leola. In which case, by the way, Avram really didn't get it. Like, if in Rashi Avram sort of didn't get it, in the Ralbag's read, Avram really didn't get it, because Hashem wasn't saying anything about the state of Yitzchak, but rather just his education. Now, all pretty startling, right? Let's see something that will totally come from a different direction. Okay? Perfect. And that's the Rashbam. We're going to end with the Rashbam. 2 minutes? 2 minutes? The Rashbam. I'm going to summarize the Rashbam here because we have time to say. The Rashbam picks up on the very first words. Vahi achar dvarim ha'ila. What's achar dvarim ha'ila? It means whatever happened just recently. What happened just recently? So the Rashbam picks up on this. Avraham signs a brit with Avimelech. What was the brit? I'm ceding half the land to you and to your children and grandchildren. They'll play nice. They'll leave each other alone. That's the brit. This is what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam goes all the way to where we usually start, which is that God commanded Avram to take Yitzchak and kill him. Not Rashi says, put him on the Korban and Mizbeach. Not the Ralbag says to train him. Not the Midrash that says, I'm doing it in order to show everybody how strong you are, or etc. He goes for the jugular. Watch what he says. He says, you were given a land. Your children have been commanded to dispossess everybody here and to slaughter them. Right? Lo techaya kol neshama. And what did you do? You, in the meantime, sign a brit in perpetuity with the plishtim that you're not going to take their land. You gave away the land I gave you. And you committed your son to that, the son that I promised you. So now, if you see in the middle, the klamayin ka'etam mention at tativ lichrot brit b'niv b'nechem uven b'nehem. You became so proud that you have a son, and so confident that you've got the son, that you signed a brief between you and him, and his son, and your son, etc. Okay, take him up and slaughter him. Let's see how long your brief stands. According to the Rashbam, the Akedah is not a test. The Akedah is not an educational moment. The Akedah is a punishment. That's what he says. And he says, I found this later in the Midrash about the Aron that sat for 7 months. Remember when the Aron was taken by the police team? It sat for 7 months in the field before they returned to the Beit Shemesh. Right? And it says, what's the Midrash? Why did Aron sit for 7 months waiting to return? It connected with the seven lambs that Avram gave Avimelech as a brit. Remember this, the Sheva Kvasot. You gave him seven lambs. I'm swearing that his children are going to go war against your children, and in seven wars they're going to beat you. Like the whole plishtim interaction. Etc. In other words, the Rashbam now anchors this and says we've midrashim that tie in Bnei Yisrael's later difficult relations with the plishtim with Avram's willingness to sign a brit, which is wrong. I gave you the land, I promised you the land, I promised me your kids, and you signed it away. And when did you sign it away? After I blessed you with a child, and you committed that child to it. So you know what? Take him up and slaughter him. Let's see how well your brit lasts. It's a mind-blowing Rashbam. But the Rashbam picks up from one simple phrase, Vahi achar dvar ma'ila, which means this entire story has to somehow be caused by or anchored in the previous story, which is the brit that Avram and Avimelech take. We've seen about five or six different ways of looking at the issue of the Akedah. We haven't come up with any solutions. Or maybe we've come up with five or six solutions. But, again, it's not something that Soren Kierkegaard was the first guy to be bothered by. And not the last guy either. Something that Chachmei HaMidrash were bothered by, and that the Rishonim were all bothered by, and anybody looks at the Parsha, it's difficult. If Saadi is bothered, the Rambam is bothered, we're all bothered by it. And the engagement and the tangling with all the different issues is part of the beauty of Torah, of the interaction, and not necessarily coming up with a grand panacea of a solution.